Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Banksy is a world-renowned artist, and if you're asking yourself, but who is he? Well, that's kind of part of the allure of Banksy. It's his anonymity. But his art is everywhere, literally. He has painted his street graffiti around the world in some of the most unexpected places, like the London Zoo and Disneyland. He shook the art world recently when someone bought his Girl with a Balloon for almost $1.5 million at Sotheby's auction house. Then upon the purchase, the painting destroyed itself with a shredder built into the frame of the painting. The Art of Banksy exhibit is now open at Magic City Studios until February 28th. The exhibition is itself controversial. It wasn't authorized by the artist, and Banksy's management company, Pest Control, has asked the tour to just stop. We spoke to Banksy's former manager, Steve Lazaridis, who put this unauthorized exhibit together, made up of Banksy's art from private collections.
The more I travel around the world and go and see people, you know, there's cab drivers in Karachi that know who he is, and his impact has been insane. I was talking to someone earlier saying, not just Banksy. I had a meeting yesterday with Michael White, that's Dondi White's brother, the old school New York train painter. And we were saying, like, this has been the most sustainable, powerful, most supported art movement of the last 50 years. And it's been completely ignored by the art world. However, with the general public, they've picked it up and they've run with it. It's like, suddenly this is art we can understand. And with Banksy, it's like, you know, it's a very simplistic message. The imagery is very simple. The message is very simple. And it's stuff people can access and get behind and not feel to be made stupid. And it's that kind of very light left-wing message with a slight thumb in your nose at authority that everybody likes. You know, this is a kind of true blue-collar thing, I think. It's that, you know, sticking it to the man. And that's what he's been doing for you know, many, many years, and keeps doing it from, you know, the old school monkeys would laugh now that we'd be in charge when we were, you know, he was running around the streets of London putting 50 of them up on a night, to the more considered things like the shredding of the Girl in Balloon in Sotheby's, which, you know, I know why he did it and I understand his thought process, which was, you know, I'm going to thumb my nose at the art world and I'm going to make a commentary on how stupid my prices are.
And I want to ask you about that one too, especially. This exhibition is going to feature some of the prints of Banksy's premier work, including Girl with Balloon.
Yeah.
For people who haven't seen it, or just to remind people of what that piece is.
It's a very simplistic image of a little girl letting go of a heart-shaped balloon that's drifting away from her. And with Banksy, it's very strange because, like, different images of his are popular at different times. So, like, that was never the most popular image when it came out. At that point in time, the most popular image was probably the Laugh Now Monkey or the Flower Thrower stencil. And then they used it for the Free Syria campaign a while back, and it went global and got used, and then it suddenly got picked up, and it was like that, and suddenly Girl in Balloon was the most famous picture. So it's probably now one of the world's most famous pieces of art. It was voted the England's most liked piece of art either last year or the year before. And then, like I said, he did the shredding escapade at Sotheby's that's now made it even more famous. And I think, like, his thought was that I'll be thumbing my nose at the art world and making a commentary on the stupid prices people pay for my work. But I didn't think he realised that the backlash of that would be he's just made his paintings way more expensive than they were before.
All right, so the stunt at Sotheby's, I mean, you know, somebody buys this piece for $1.4 million.
Yeah.
And then
It starts shredding.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think his message is there? What is he trying to say?
I think he was just trying to make a comment on the prices of his artwork, man. So I think there's a common misconception amongst everybody that Banksy, you know, is worth $100 million and made all this money off all these paintings in the early days. But you have to remember that when we originally sold those pieces, they were £250. So someone that paid £250 for it back in 2004 now has £1 million painting. So Banksy made £250. Everyone else has made the money subsequently. So I think that, you know, it's part of this thing about the insanity of the art world and the commercialization of art. But what he did was he made probably what will now be one of the most famous moments in auction history. And, you know, it was amazing. It's quite funny because everyone was saying, oh, Sotheby's must have colluded with him and everything else. And I'm like, listen, you have to understand, like, he don't play nice with the other children. Yeah, he's not going to ask. Like, that horror ethos used to be, if you ask and they say no, you can't do anything about it. If you do it and you get caught, you can always apologize.
And what was the response? And I wanted
it was amazing. It was kind of, you know, it went global. This is the thing nowadays. He does something and it goes global. It's not, and without, you know, big press campaigns or anything else, like everyone's waiting for his next escapade. And then it just blows up.
You know what? I mean, you've had the chance to work with a guy. And I'm just curious. I mean, how do you describe his personality, his character? What's he like?
Well, he's just driven. Is he, you know, I'm not going to give anything away about his personality particularly, but, you know, on a work ethos kind of thing. You work with some people where, how do you describe it? You work with some people where it's a job, you know, and they're in and they're a painter and they go into the studio and everything. And you get other people where it's a calling. And for him, it's a calling. It's, you know, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He never switches off.
So that intensity that we see in his work,
it's always been there from the very beginning. And he never stops.
So one of the producers had the opportunity to, one of my producers, to see his work juxtaposed with Salvador Dali's in an exhibition in Amsterdam. You know, both of these artists take very powerful approaches to social commentary. Obviously, you know, you're talking about Dali in a very different era, very different type of political regime. But who are some of Banksy's influences?
I think you can pull on a lot of different things. I think, you know, there's a few of the arts involved in the scene that kind of pulled in from the communist political thing. Like, I can't speak from, I don't know what's in his head, but from what I can see from the outside, the early screen prints that he made were very influenced by kind of communist propaganda in a way. It's like that straight three color, red, white, black. You know, everything was very simple and the messaging was very simple. So I think you've got that thing of like mass produced posters to put a message out, crossed with what Warhol was doing. So I think, you know, I think you could say that those two were probably those two influences somewhere in the middle. I think it's where they met and where he started. It was a breeding ground for him.
You know, one of the things, obviously, about this artist, about Banksy, is also the fact that, I mean, you know, he can have these issues with authority and run-ins with the law, which adds to, I think, part of that iconoclast of his, what, you know, what he is. But at the same time, it's got to drive you crazy.
He's the eternal rebel. Is he? you know, but in all the years I worked with him, he never got caught. So for someone that was that prolific, and we did some insane stunts, and it's, you know, yes, we were running away from stuff. And, you know, one of the reasons for his anonymity was it was not a as everyone thinks, some clever self-promotional tool. When he was in Bristol and he was operating as just a straight-up graffiti artist in the kind of mid-90s, he was absolutely prolific. And the authorities in Bristol at the time had quite a draconian policy towards graffiti, so he adopted the anonymity purely to not get arrested. And that then kind of bubbled over and it became, you know, part of his persona.
I'm talking with Steve Lazaridis, the curator behind the new unauthorized exhibition, The Art of Banksy. The exhibition launched this weekend, runs through February 28th. It features over 80 works by the iconic graffiti artist. Lazaridis was Banksy's manager for 11 years. How do you think he feels about the fact that, you know, he's a rebel, he's trying to get a message out, but now he's famous? I get it. Yeah. Like, that's why, you know, shred the artwork that he just sold for, or that just sold for $1 million. But, you know, how do you think he feels about the fact that now he's Banksy?
Yeah, it's hard, I think, because I think it's, you know, the weight of expectation on his shoulders. Like I said, I haven't spoken to him in a long, long time, but from looking from afar, I think the weight of expectation must be heavy for what he does. Whereas before, there was a visceral energy to the early work where it's, you know, it was full of kind of, you know, anger and the kind of things you have as a young man that kind of dissipate a bit as you get older and you're just like, oh, whatever. But I think he's still out there and he's still doing it. You know, things like the Waldorf Hotel in Palestine, and he's still getting his message out there and saying things just in a slightly different way.
This exhibition, you have an unauthorized exhibition.
Yeah, it was completely unauthorized.
And, of course, there's been, you know, criticism, especially from Banksy's current manager. One of the primary concerns was the cost of getting in to see it. And so, you know, and in the statement to the Miami Herald that you mentioned, they said, quote, not only do these people abuse Banksy's name for their own financial greed, but they also mislead the general public into believing they have something to do with the artist. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that, you know, I take slight umbrage at that because ever since the beginning, it's always been billed as an unauthorized exhibition. I've gone to great pains to make everyone understand this isn't a Banksy show. This is a show of Banksy's art. This isn't something that he's created. He's not had any input in it other than the fact that he made the paintings. And my take on it is that I think in his heart of hearts, where would you rather your work reside? In the home of one collector or out there for the general public to come and see, especially since it's a general public that made you?
And what would he say, though, to the ticket price?
But you have to pay. It's that thing. What I was saying is, I don't know how it works here, but the museum system in the UK. So you can go to the Tate Modern for free. But if you want to come and see the travelling exhibition, you need to pay £20 because they've had to put that exhibition together. It has to travel. Like, that show didn't pop up for free. The 50 staff that work in there are not working there for free. The venue did not give the venue for free. The shipping company did not allow the works to be shipped for free. These guys need to sell a hell of a lot of tickets to just break even. So this isn't like it's a cash machine with money pouring out. These guys have taken a risk to put the show on. And I think if it had been any other artist other than Banksy, like if you'd put a Basquiat exhibition on there and put 50 works up, people would not bat an eyelid about having to pay to get into a show. And I think, if people want to see these works and you want to travel them and they want to go around the globe, and this isn't it going to an established museum or that's something I did want to say. Like, really, this show shouldn't be there and you shouldn't be paying. This show should be in a museum and it should be for free. But the museums have eschewed his work in that of all the graffiti artists. So if people want to go and see it, people like me, Live Nation, Star Fox, we're the ones that have to put something together to do it. And we don't have the support of the state and the infrastructure to be able to do it.
And this has traveled around to a number of different places around the world. Why Miami? Why do you want to come here?
I think it was partly to tie in with when Basel was opening. It was the timing of everything. Miami's always had a great graffiti tradition as well. Hey, it's sunny and it's warm.
hey, you're honest. That's good. That's all right. How is this exhibition going to change the perspective on how we understand street art? I mean, as you said, Miami does have a little bit of history with that now, but what's the new perspective that you're hoping to shed light on? What can Banksy bring?
I think it was just, the show is a snapshot of 20 years worth of work that he's done. So it's come out of all of the seminal shows he's done. All the works that are in there were pieces that were purchased commercially from his shows. So there's nothing there that wasn't there and bought and sold at the time. And it's so people can get a kind of a real broad cross-section of what he is and who he was about. So, it's not just the fact that there's, we've got most of the screen prints he ever made. And for me, I think that from a personal perspective, the screen prints are way more important than the paintings, because when he set out, his idea was to make cheap, affordable art for the masses. And that's why the screen printing company Pixel Malls was set up. So, those prints there cost like $50 when we first did them. Now, quite obviously, the concept did spectacularly backfire within 2 or 3 years, because what we were selling for $50 was then trading for a couple of thousand. Now it's gone up to like the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. But, the ethos that was there was, to provide, use a technique where you could make stuff cheaply to then pass on to the public to then become art collectors. And I think it's one of the great things about this, and for people to view, is that this wasn't work that was collected by big art collectors at the time. This was work that was collected by the general public. And I think one of the things I'm proudest about that he did was, I think, he legitimized the general public to feel okay about buying art. Whereas before, I think they'd felt so ostracized by the art world and so on the back foot and so intimidated that they didn't even bother going to shows.
Do you think this eventually ends up in museums? How do you think future generations are going to look back on Banksy?
It's hard to view. Like, he's been going for 20 years. This isn't, he's not just suddenly sprung out of a box. And, he's probably the world's most recognizable artist. I don't understand why the museums don't have his work in their permanent collections.
Sometimes artists, though, it could be after their death. But what do you think the future is going to look back on Banksy?
Oh, he's going to be one of the most influential artists of the 21st century by a country mile.
That was Steve Lazzaridi's former manager for the world-renowned artist Banksy. Steve is also running the unauthorized exhibit called The Art of Banksy. It's at the Magic City Studios, again, through February 28th. Just to note, Lazzaridi's did not specify why him and the artist Banksy ever parted ways.